Welcome to Gateway Church's podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you're encouraged by today's message.
Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Oh, you're all so good looking today. Amen. Welcome to all the campuses, wherever you are, and out in the overflow and up in the balcony and down here. It's so good to have people. Amen. Well, you saw Dave bring me up here. We've been married 56 years. So I've decided to stick with him. And I've told him, if you go before me, I will never have another man. I wouldn't go through that again for nothing. Amen. We're blessed. I've been teaching the word for 45 years. And this month we celebrate being on TV 30 years. And the reason why I'm excited about that is because it just goes everywhere. They tell me we're on television in about two-thirds of the world, and I'm on in 100 different languages, different parts of the world. And we just feel so blessed to be able to reach so many different people. And we have 4 grown children and 12 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren, and all I can say is it's a lot of money. Amen. And so Dave and I are happy, and we get along better now than we ever have. And so I'll just tell you, you might as well stick with the one you got, because you'll have to train the next one too. So our youngest grandson is almost 4. His name's Brody. And he's quite a little character. He throws little fits. Well, actually, he throws big fits. And he was out with his mother the other day, and he wasn't behaving very well. He was just cranky, crabby, didn't want to do anything she wanted him to do. So she's just a great mom. And she said, Brody, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray. So she pulled him over close to her and said, Father, we pray that Brody will be a sweet little boy today like we know he is. And pray that he'll be nice and mind what his mother says, and on and on. And at the end, he said, not amen. I wonder how many of us say not amen to God when he says things to us. Well, I've been teaching this weekend. It started yesterday at 4. I love that 4 o'clock service. It's a great time to have church. And of course, I love every service. But we started yesterday. I was doing a little series this weekend on dealing with stress, because so many people have stress in their lives. Is there anybody here who ever has any stress in your life? Some people put up both hands, so that's good. Well, the world is not going to change. I want you to listen. The world is not going to change. I prayed for years for God to change my circumstances, and then I found out it was actually me he wanted to change. So, would you be willing to change if your circumstances never changed? Because you see, it's not really our circumstances that upset us. It's the way we react to our circumstances that upset us. I'm going to tell this half of the congregation that. Because we think, well, if I just didn't have this circumstance. But see, then you wouldn't be in the world. Because Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. And so we really need to get it through our heads that just praying for our circumstances to go away is not the answer. We need to pray that God will change us. It's interesting. Paul never prayed. You can't find a place where Paul prayed for people's bad circumstance to go away, which I find interesting, because that's what we do all the time. God, change this circumstance, change this person. But what Paul prayed for the people was that they would handle whatever came with good temper. I've never had anybody come to the altar and ask me to pray for them to have a better attitude toward their circumstances. They always want their circumstance to go away. And I think it's important that I camp here for a minute and we get this, because it is a big deception that we have in life, that I just want my circumstance to change. Or I want my spouse to change. I want my kids to change. We always want everybody else to change, but God wants to change us. It's His goal for us. We are predestined. And predestined doesn't mean it's going to happen no matter what you do. It means that God has already predetermined His will. But how we respond is important. We're partners with God, and He has a part, and we have a part, and no matter how much He does His part, if we don't do our part, we're not going to have what He wants for our lives. And so He has already predetermined that we are to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's His goal for us, that we all become like Jesus. And so really, more than we need our circumstances to change, we need the willing to be changed to be whatever God wants us to be. And I like to teach on spiritual maturity. I intend to teach quite a bit on that this year. And I believe that spiritual maturity is coming to the place where you no longer are always telling God what you want, but you start asking Him what He wants. Amen. You know, if you have kids, you raise your kids, you take care of your kids, and they reach a certain point where you don't want to spend the whole rest of your life doing for them. You'd like them to do for you. Amen. And my kids are all really good. I'm proud of them. You know, every one of our children would help us in any way that they possibly could. And they do a lot. And that means a lot to me. And they don't just come when they want something. They come because they love us. And God wants us to be that way. He wants us to seek His face, not just His hand. That's a big transition in your life when you reach that point. I remember when God taught me that, what a big transition that was for me, that I didn't have to seek His hand all the time, not just what can you do for me, but to just seek Him for who He is, because I love Him. Amen. Matter of fact, when God was teaching me this, He challenged me. He said, I don't want you to ask me for another thing except me until I give you permission to. Wow. And I'd start to say, well, God, will you do? And it was life-changing. So I want to say again, I like to teach on spiritual maturity, and I've been thinking a lot lately, like, what's the simplest way I can explain what it is? And I think it's coming to the point where you no longer, and it's not that you can't ask God for what you want, but that's not your main theme in life. And we're all that way when we first come to Christ. And to be honest, He does a lot for us to establish relationship with us and to show us that He loves us. But He wants us to come to the point where we're not just telling Him what we want. We need to ask God every day, God, what can I do for you today? Use me today, Lord. How can I make somebody else happy today? What can I do for somebody else today? What do I have that I can bless somebody else with today? We need to be others-minded, not just self-minded and self-centered all the time. I'll tell you a secret. You can't be selfish and happy. So in teaching on stress, I have to tell you first of all that you can't just pray all the time for your circumstances to change. You have to want God to change you. And I really wonder sometimes how many people want God to change them. Because I'm going to tell you another little secret. You really can't change without some suffering. Don't worry, I won't stay there long. But it's true. And you say, well, wait a minute, I thought Jesus did all the suffering. I'm not talking about getting on the cross like he did. But you know, anytime you tell your flesh no, your flesh is going to suffer. I don't care if it's even just don't eat the piece of cake. Your flesh is not going to like it. So in order to grow up, to mature spiritually in Christ, which should be our number one goal, that should be everybody's number one goal, is to grow up and mature. See, we are his ambassadors in the earth. And I love what 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, and in the Amplified Bible, I love it, that we are Christ's personal representatives, that he is making his appeal to the world through us. Wow. Do you know that for some people, you're the only Jesus they'll see? And part of our problem is just the going to church, but then not leaving and acting like what we should be acting like. Christianity don't need to just stay in here. Come on, we got to get it out there where the people are. And you're all preachers, whether you know it or not, and you don't have to preach like I'm preaching, but you preach with your life. Most of the people that need Jesus are not going to come into church to find him. But they're where you work. They're where you go to school. They're where you grocery shop. They're everywhere. And believe me, people are desperate for somebody to love them. I mean, we live in a desperate world, and things are so crazy out there. People don't have anything to hang their hope on. And we need to start doing random acts of kindness. Be nice to people you don't even know for no reason except that's just how you are. Amen? And really listen to the Holy Spirit when you're out about what you might do for somebody else. I just feel led to tell you this story. I went to a coffee shop one day, and I wanted a pour over, and they didn't do pour overs there. And she said, let me make you a French press. And I said, I don't like French presses. They're usually too strong. She said, we've got a new press. And she said, I'll tell you, it is so good. Let me make it for you. And if you don't like it, you don't have to pay for it. I'll make anything else you want. So sure enough, she made it, and it was just absolutely great. And in the process of talking to her, and let me just say, she wasn't like me at all. Her hair was about four different colors, and she had piercings and tattoos everywhere. You know, we need to learn that we can be nice to and fellowship with people that aren't like us. Yeah. Amen. Quit being so snooty religious. Amen. Sometimes the more radical people are, it's just a signal, a sign that they're looking for love. And she said, yeah, I really want to get one of these. She said, I'm saving up my money because I've got one of them at home, and they're just nice because all you really need is hot water. So you put your coffee in them in the hot water, and you press it through, and you got a great cup of coffee wherever you're at. So she said, yeah, I want to get one of these as soon as I get enough money saved. Well, I left, and I got about yay far down the mall, and the Holy Spirit said, buy her one. And I'm thinking, oh, God. I don't know this girl. She is going to think I am stupid. And besides the way the world is today, I thought, I don't know. She might think I'm hitting on her or something. Well, I'm just telling you the truth, what I thought. I thought, yeah. But anyway, you know, I don't always like it when God tells me to do things for people I don't know, but he does it anyway. And so By now I know enough, it's not going to do any good to disobey him because I'll be miserable all day. So I went back and I waited for her to hopefully be as alone as she could be. You know, if you're going to be a fool, you'd like to be in front of as few people as possible. So I called her over and I said, listen, I said, I want to buy you one of those coffee pots. I thought it was like $110 or something. Oh, no, you can't do that. I said, yeah, I want to do it for you. I feel like it's something that I'm supposed to do. And so I gave her the money to buy the coffee pot, and she was crying and just so blessed and so on and so forth. Well, God's not finished. So I go ahead, and I'm doing my shopping, and lo and behold, I go to the bathroom upstairs in another store. And I'm coming out of the bathroom, and she's coming in and hits me almost right in the face. And she says to me, now listen, she says, why are you the kindest person in the whole world? I said, well, I'll tell you what, it's that I'm a Christian, and God has been so good to me. And if I can be good to anybody else, I want to do it. She said, well, she said, tell you the truth, I've been pretty mad at the man upstairs for a long time because my mother died with cancer, but after this, I might have to rethink it. Yeah. See? Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you that to brag on myself. I'm just giving you an example of the effect that you can have on people. If instead of just going to church and then spending the rest of the week asking God for everything you want, if you'll ask him what you can do for him. Come on, is anybody understanding me in here today? I'm a little off course from where I'm supposed to be going, but I feel like this is important. You know, I don't know how much time we have left. People always ask me, what do you think is going to happen in the world? I don't know. I mean, Jesus has been coming back as long as I've been in the church. So, I don't know when he's coming, but one thing's for sure. Bible says it's going to be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I think we passed that up a long time ago. I mean, the things going on in our world today are crazy. And so I think we all better be ready for Jesus to come anytime. Amen? Because the Bible says all over the place that we should watch and pray and be ready and stay awake and be alert, not be sleepy Christians. And I just want to say again, I think church is wonderful, but so many people think that church is all there is. Well, I go to church. Well, I can go sit in the garage all night and that won't make me a car. Amen. So just because you come here every Sunday or every Saturday and Sunday, my question is, what are you doing when you go out there? That's the big question. What are you doing when you go out there? Amen. And that's the big question for all of us. What are we doing when we go out there? So I'll just tell you your circumstance. Oh, some of your circumstances will change. You may get out of debt. You may get a raise. You may get some of the things you want. But, you know, I hope this isn't discouraging, but you're going to have very few times in life that you're not going to have some kind of an issue or a problem. Amen? If it's not the refrigerator, it's the stove. If it's not the stove, it's the furnace. If it's not the furnace, it's the kid. If it's not the kid, it's the husband. If, you know. Come on, you know what I mean. And so we have to learn how to react differently to things. And you can learn how to react differently to things. I know, because nobody could have been worse than me at having a bad reaction to uncomfortable circumstances. I mean, we just are addicted to comfort. Amen? When you go to India and you tell them how you got depressed because your air conditioner went out for 2 hours, they're not very impressed. Amen? So we're kind of spoiled, and we don't take any kind of discomfort too easy. And boy, the world we live in today, you better toughen up a little bit or you ain't gonna make it. Because it is stressful. Amen? So the first thing you got to do is be willing to change. And trust me, God will change you if you really want to change. How can you have less stress in your life? Simplify, simplify, simplify. Let me just ask a question. How many of you are complicated people? I mean, now I've learned, thank God, this has been many years ago, but I mean, I'll never forget when Dave and I went to church, and this is actually before I was spirit-filled, and we went to church, and I loved God. I didn't know much, but I loved the Lord, and we were in the young couples group and played volleyball and all the different things you do, and I can remember on a Sunday after church saying to our little group of friends, hey, why don't you come on over to the house after church and we'll just throw some hot dogs on the grill and I'll get some potato chips and potato salad and we'll just fellowship and play some games. Now, you know, that sounds doable, don't it? But you think I could leave it alone? No. The hot dogs had to become steaks that I couldn't afford. And then we had to plant flowers so everything would look pretty. Had to paint the lawn chairs because we wanted them fixed. Of course, we had to clean the whole house. By the time the people got there, I didn't even like them anymore. Probably didn't like most of them when I invited them. Come on. I was exhausted when everybody left. I'm getting ready to make a statement. You need to hear it. You're never free until you no longer have a need to impress people. Amen. Never free till you no longer have a need to impress people. We don't need to live to impress one another. We need to learn how to be free to be ourselves. Simplify, simplify, simplify. Things are so complicated. I remember the leper in India when I was in the leper colony ministering to the lepers. He wanted me to see his home. And he took me to his home that he was so proud of and so excited about. And it was a hole dug out of the side of a hill. It was, I don't know, maybe 8 feet long. And I don't know, maybe as deep as from here to the edge of the stage. And it was all dirt, dirt walls, dirt floor. He had a hammock in there. And over in the corner, he had a few beat up dishes. And he was so proud of his home. Honestly and truly, I have found as I've traveled around the world that people who have less are happier than people who have more. And you know, they're happy because they don't know what they're missing. We see what somebody else has, and then no matter what we have, we're not happy unless we can have what they have, if what they have is a little more than what we have. Let's stop being so materialistic. Amen? You got a nice car? Got 47,000 miles on it? Who cares if it's 7 years old? Do you really need to go in debt that you can't afford to go into to buy another new car? No, you might use some of that money to help somebody else. Well, bless God, I'm not going to work all week and give all my money away. Well, then just go ahead and be miserable. 7 ways to simplify your life. Number 1, clean out the clutter. Get yourself what I call a giveaway box. I keep one going all the time. And every time you run across something you're not using, throw it in the box. Take it to the Goodwill. I take a bunch of stuff to my office because we got 500 employees. There's always somebody that wants it. You know, pruning is necessary for growth. We prune trees, but the word pruning only means to cut back. That's all it means, to trim away or to cut back. And we cannot grow as believers unless we allow God to prune us. And you're not going to grow in peace unless you learn how to prune some of the stuff you've got way too much of. Clutter makes you miserable. The neater your surroundings are, the more peaceful you feel. What value do you put on peace? I want you to ask yourself, what value do you put on peace? When you decide you want peace bad enough, you'll have it. But you won't have it without making some changes. I had to make changes. Like I found out that if I have to hurry, I usually end up losing my peace. I mean, if you have to hurry, that's isn't it? Well, praying not to hurry won't work. We pray about a lot of things we ought to just do something about. It's amazing the skills we have if we would just use them. So I started looking for my peace stealers, and I came up with all, just watch your life and see when you get upset, what it is that upsets you. Well, how are you reacting? Get your surroundings around you more where it's not complicated. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Peace is such a wonderful thing to have. When you want or need something, the second way to simplify your life, when you want or need something, ask God for it. James 4, 1 and 2 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask. Man, that was a big scripture for me at one point. I thought, I am trying to make all these things happen in my life, and they're not happening, and I'm frustrated because I can't make them happen. The best thing to do is pray for them, and if God wants to give them to you, he will, and if he don't, he won't. You can't change people. Stop trying to change all the people in your family. Let them off the potter's wheel. You're not the potter. Come on. Well, if you don't change this. You know, one of our daughters, not mine. Dave always reminds me they're our kids, not my kids. But I'm choleric, so I talk mine, me, you know. One of our daughters was just a slob. I mean, that's all you can make out. I mean, she looked good herself, but she just, man. when she came in the house, she just left a trail everywhere she went. And she never could find her car keys, couldn't find her purse. You'd go in a room and there were more clothes on the floor than in the closet. And it just about drove me nuts. If you are going to live in my house, come on. Any of you had that speech? If you are going to live in my house, you are not going to act this way. She'd act that way anyway. Well, that daughter now takes care of me. Our one son that I thought would surely never be able to get out of the house and live on his own. I would have him forever. He now is the CEO of our ministry. Our other son that just about gave me a nervous breakdown because he was just like me. Come on, the kid you like the least is the one that's just like you. And don't act like you don't have kids you don't like, because you do. You love them, but you don't like them all. He's now in charge of our world missions. Every one of our kids turned out great. And every one of them, I thought was a nightmare raising them. So let me tell you something. If you're going through some big traumatic thing with your kids, don't try to change them. Pray for them. One prayer is going to get more progress than all the speeches that you can give them. Our son, I remember I'd go in his room, and when I walked in his room, he'd roll his eyes back in his head. And I hated that. And he'd get his speech. Dave didn't do that. He just told them, if you do this again, this is what's going to happen. And if they did it again, that was what happened. Your children will respect you if you act respectful, not if you act out of control. Amen. You have not because you ask not. Oh, that simplifies life. If you want something, need something, ask God. If there's something he wants you to do, he'll show you. And if he does show you to do something, then do it. But if God doesn't show you to do something, then just wait on him. Wait. Wait, I want it right now. You know what the word wait means? You know why we hate waiting on God? We think it means to just sit around and twiddle our thumbs and do nothing. Well, you're not doing things physically, but you're very active spiritually. If you're waiting on God properly, it means to expect something wonderful to happen to you at any moment. Yeah. Amen? That's what the word wait means, and hope. Hope is not like, well, I hope it'll happen, but it may not. No, hope is I am expecting something wonderful to happen to me at any moment. And the Bible says hope is the anchor of your soul. Hope is what keeps you grounded and stable mentally and emotionally. If I said I'd come to your house at 5 o'clock this afternoon, you'd have the meal ready and you'd be looking. You'd be expecting me at any moment. Well, that's the way we need to be when we're waiting on God. So if you're waiting on God for something that you need, or something that one of your children need, or somebody that needs to change, have that expectancy. I believe this is a year when we need to increase our faith. I think God is just waiting to do some great things in our lives, but we need to increase our faith. Lean on him a little more. A third way to simplify your life is be yourself and don't try to impress people. I said this in the early service, but a couple of people said it was really good, so I'm going to say it to you too. Very few people have the courage to be themselves. Where are you at? I'm going to come talk to you. Very few people have the courage to just be who they are and not feel like you need to apologize because you're not like somebody else. You don't need to compete with other people and compare yourself with other people and do what they're doing. I mean, if they pray 5 hours a day and you pray 10 minutes, but you're satisfied, you don't have to be like them. We had an intercessor come to our church, and she got up and shared that she prayed every morning from 5 to 9. Well, I thought she was really spiritual and, you know, wow, I had great anointing. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray just like she does, from 5 to 9 every morning. Well, I prayed 5 minutes and fell asleep. Come on, you can't do what somebody else is doing just because they're doing it. You have to have an anointing to do it. You have to have God's grace to do it. And you don't have to apologize because you're not like them. I tried for a year to be a regular woman. Well, I'm not very regular, I guess. But I tried to make my family's clothes because a friend of mine made her family's clothes. And I hated that stupid sewing machine. Hated it. How many things do we do that we hate just because somebody else is doing it and so we think we ought to do it too? Amen? Come on, somebody be bold enough to be yourself. Don't feel like you have to apologize for yourself. You've got different DNA and different fingerprints. If God wanted you to be somebody else, then He would have given you the grace to be somebody else. But He didn't. Don't say, I'm going to be the next Joyce Meyer. I hope not. I hope if you're going to be anything, you're going to do something bigger than I did. Don't want to be somebody else. Be yourself. Next thing you can do to really simplify your life is don't be easily offended. The couple that's with us, Mike and Penny, this morning I gave Penny some advice on her hair that she didn't ask for. And I just told everybody last night, if you want to have peace, don't give people advice that they don't want. And I said, I'm glad that you're not easily offended. She said, well, I'm trying not to be. Don't be easily offended. I'm going to tell you a little secret. This will help you more than anything. Always believe the best of every person. Always believe the best. Even if they're not, even if they're a rat. If you believe the best, you're going to be happy. And we should believe the best of people and give people second chances. Not be so hard to get along with and legalistic and everything's got to be done just the way I want it done. Well, I'm in the middle of about 8 messages and I got 6 minutes to get out of all of them. Be quick to forgive. That'll take the stress out of your life. Be quick to forgive. When you sin, admit it, receive forgiveness, and get on with your life. Don't waste days wallowing around in guilt that Jesus has already taken care of. Come on. Guilt is a huge stressor in our life. And I carried guilt around with me for years because of what my dad did to me. I didn't feel right if I didn't feel wrong. Man, I was so glad to find out that when Jesus forgave my sin, He also dealt with the guilt. He forgives us completely and removes our sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. Amen. Give people mercy instead of trying to get revenge. And number seven, when you need help, ask for it. Okay, seven ways to simplify relationships. Don't try to be everybody's best friend. Get it through your head that not everybody's going to like you. Statistics say 10% of all people won't like you no matter what you do. I'm going to pretend that you all love me to pieces, but, you know. Did you do that again? I'm going to be 80 in 2 months. That sounded pretty good. Nobody's whistled at me in a long time. That felt pretty good. If you want to simplify your relationships with other people, don't expect to never get hurt or disappointed. Don't get overly involved in other people's business. Don't do what I did this morning and give people advice they don't want. I told her, I said, well, sometimes you tell me the back of my hair is messed up. She said, yeah, but you've asked me to tell you. I didn't ask you to tell me. Compliment 100 times more than you criticize. Amen. And one way to simplify your relationship with God, come to Him like a little child. Childlike, simple faith. You said it, I believe it. Amen. You don't have to explain it to me. I believe it. Establish some boundaries in your life if you want to have peace. Psalm 147:14 says, I will make peace within your borders. And I will fill you with the finest of wheat. If we have boundaries in our life, and God set boundaries from the very beginning, when He told Adam and Eve, you can eat every tree in the garden, but don't eat this one, that was a boundary. When He told the oceans, you can go this far, just imagine, oceans have to stop at sand. Now really, what would keep them from just running all over that sand? A little piece of sand is not going to stop an ocean, because God set a boundary and said, you're not going to go any further. And boundaries are to keep us safe. You need to have boundaries in all your relationships. Don't let people take advantage of you. Don't let people control you and manipulate you. Don't let them put a guilt trip on you. I don't care even if it's your parents. Sometimes elderly parents will try to control their kids. Need to be careful. My mother, who never took care of me, would say, well, you should do this for me. I'm your mother. And I did take care of her, but I did it for God. I didn't do it because she took care of me. If somebody's trying to control you, then they don't love you. I'm going to give you one example of somebody who was overloaded, and it was his own fault. Numbers 11, 10 through 14. Moses heard the people of every family waiting at the entrance of their tents. And the Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. Why did God get angry? Because Moses was doing way more than what he should have been doing. And he wasn't doing it because God was telling him to. He was doing it because the people wanted him to. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on me? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why are you telling me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant? to the hand you promised an oath to their ancestors. Well, God didn't tell them to do all that. He was doing it himself. Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I can't do all this by myself. The burden's too great for me. Have any of you ever sounded like that? I can't do this anymore. I can't do all this by myself. Moses was complaining, and that's usually a good sign that you're doing too much. Well, I find this to be very interesting. And the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, men of whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting and let them stand there with you. And I will come down and talk there with you, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put it on them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you so that you do not have to bear it yourself alone. Now, here's what I find interesting, and I never really noticed this until yesterday. It took 70 men to get him in balance. I mean, that's downright hilarious. He was doing the work of 70 men. No wonder he was grumbling and complaining. Come on. How many of you need to let somebody help you and you just won't? Well, I finally learned 5 years ago. I got sick and I learned you either get some help or you're not going to make it. And so now, you know what I do now? I don't mess with any of the business at our office unless something's really serious. My kids don't even tell me. They take care of it. I write, I pray, I study, and I preach. That's it. And you know what? Our ministry's bigger than ever, reaching more people than ever, and more financially stable than ever. Sometimes, if you're doing too much, God will just stand back and wait for you to wear yourself out and come to Him and ask for help. Come on, I'm preaching good. Too bad I'm out of time. I'll tell you this last story while I'm closing up my Bible. Elisha. This is such a good story. Elisha, one day, he is so bold, he's calling fire down from heaven, and he kills 450 Baal prophets and chops them in pieces. Now, if you really think about that practically, I mean, how tired would the man have been? And he didn't have an electric saw, neither. The next day, the very next day, he runs for his life from a threat from one woman, Jezebel. We are a little bit fickle. And he runs, and he goes out in the desert, and the Bible says he sat down under a broom tree, whatever that was. And he starts crabbing to God. I'm the only one left. God ends up telling him, well, actually, I've got 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. How often do we think, well, I'm the only one that can do it? No. God's got other people that can do it better than you. That's what I found out. We're in better shape now than we've ever been. And so he said, God, I'd be better off just to die. I mean, he was depressed and wanting to die. And here's what happened. God's so simple. He sent an angel, and the angel gave him a nap and a meal. And the meal was a cake. Now that part I really like. And then the angel woke him up and gave him another meal and another nap. And then God said, all right, now it's time to get back to work. So maybe all some of you need is a good meal and a good nap. And you might be a lot easier to get along with than what you are. Amen. Come on, give God praise. All right, stand up. I'm going to pray for you. First of all, I want to make sure that everybody here today goes out born again, so we're going to all pray this prayer together. And anybody here who needs Jesus or you need to renew your relationship with Jesus, this is the time to do it. And if you're receiving Christ for the first time, you're welcome to call my office tomorrow morning. We'll send you a free book about how to begin your life with Christ. But let's just all pray this together. Say, Father God, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for my sins. You paid the debt I owed. Jesus, I want you in my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Make me brand new. Jesus, I receive you now. And I surrender to you. Right now, I surrender to you. Take me just the way I am and make me what you want me to be. Now, I believe I'm saved. I believe you love me. And I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to connect with us, text CONNECT to 71010 or visit gatewaypeople.com. We hope you have a great week.